Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now the Chiefs go to that L shape in the backfield. Play action fake. There's a throw caught by Kelce, and he dives to the 1 yard line. Against Yasin, he thought about hurdling him, but he hit the hurdle, and it was Yasin. It's a gain of 17, and the Chiefs have goal to go. Unbalanced left. Caliendo in the line of scrimmage. Pacheco, the running back. First down and goal to go. Sprint out action. Mahomes keeps it. He's into the end zone. Touchdown. Keeping the ball on the option. Mahomes with the rushing touchdown. And he scores at 37 seconds to go in the first half.
That's right, baby. Chiefs victorious 30-17. That's now what?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Twice they've scored 30 in the last 3 weeks. That's one, two,
should have been a third straight game with 30 points.
Third straight time they have held a team to 20 or less. Ben, don't break that opening drive. I think we all can agree. We're going, geez, the backup's here. We're going, are they going to stop them? Are they going to get a ball back? Are
can
they
we stop reacting to the opening drive, though? Like, let's make that a blood bond between the three of us. First drive against the defense. Do not watch. Do not pay attention.
Yeah,
do not care. Because we know what happens every time. The team goes right down the field and scores, and we're all pissed off.
See, I don't think
that
was...
they don't score for like two quarters.
And then they don't score the rest of the way.
I don't think that was my initial take. I wasn't really pissed at the defense. I was just more so at like watching that clock absolutely tick away. And here's the funny part about it. The Chiefs won the time of possession yesterday.
Big time. And they took 10 minutes on that first, you know, on that first drive. I was actually rooting for that drive to continue to go. I'm like, the longer they take, the less opportunity they are going to have to possess the football. And that's a high striking offense, right? The Detroit Lions, as we know, arguably the best offense in the NFL, some people would say, right? With all the weapons that they have out there. And I thought by them going slow down the field, they were kind of playing into our hands a little bit. You should have been going out there trying to do quick strikes. And, you know, Dan Campbell said at the beginning of the game, we're going to need to score 30 points to win this thing, okay? He took the ball down the field and took basically the entire first quarter. And they only ended up with 3 points. Now, he didn't script it that way. They planned on getting a touchdown, obviously. But they only ended up with 3 points after that 10-minute drive. How are you going to get the 30? Because, as you know, they only had, what, 8 more possessions the rest of the way after that. Each right. team had 9 possessions in the game. And they had 8 possessions the rest of the way after taking 10 minutes off the clock and only getting 3. Mathematically, almost impossible at that point in time to get the 30 points. They shot themselves in the foot right away. And so once we got that, you know, stop, if you will, and held them to 3 points, I was feeling really good about where this team was going to go. And then after the game, you see, you know, the big victory. And I'm thinking to myself, the rest of the league's on watch now. They're on notice. Nobody's going to want to play this team right now.
And you're on notice because you're listening to 96.5 The Fan, KFNZ, FM and AM, HD1, HD2, Kansas City, here on 96.5 The Fan on a Victory Monday. Look, possession-wise, kind of a tie. Chiefs had it for 30 minutes and 37 seconds, whereas the Lions had it for 29 minutes and 23 seconds. Turnovers, Chiefs win. Mm-hmm. Penalties, Chiefs win. Look, very clean game.
Clean game on both sides, really.
4 for 38 for the Lions. Yeah. The Chiefs punted it once. Nobody threw an interception. The Chiefs had one sack. The Lions did have three. The Chiefs' total yards, 355 to 297. If I'd have told you this stat, would you have believed me? The Chiefs outran the Lions. They outrushed the Lions in this game. I know Mahomes has a little bit of part of that with the 32 yards rushing, but he took four off at the very end of the game with two kneel downs.
He did. Yeah, somebody was texting me about the over under at halftime. They go, man, Mahomes taking that one knee really crushed a lot of people who had the over at that point in time. I'm like, oh, did that negative take like a first half over away from Patrick Mahomes? I don't even know. But the good thing is Patrick wasn't the leading rusher yesterday, right? How about Kareem Hunt yesterday running hard? Isaiah Pacheco running hard yesterday. I love that Kareem Hunt run at the end where he's like calling for Trey Smith to push him forward. Push me forward, get me going. And like those guys ran with juice last night, right? With not a lot of Breshard Smith, obviously, in the game that we saw. And I will say this, watching some college games over the weekend and a little bit of the NFL highlights and whatnot, a lot of teams are doing the wheel route. I need more of that with Breshard Smith. Like that for me would be like that would be awesome just to see more of that. But all guys touched the ball last night. The two running backs I thought were really good last night. They added, no pun intended, that pop that we've been looking for. They were explosive. I thought both Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco looked fresher than I've seen them in a long time last night. Explosiveness out of that running game and explosiveness out of that offense right now. And the explosiveness is there because it's balanced. It was a legit balancing act last night. 30 runs, 30 passes. It was a beautiful game last night.
A wheel route would make Bob go weak in the knees.
It would.
It would. Rashee Rice coming back to this offense makes Mac Morey's, knees really get to shake.
I know that I'm hard.
Look out is Mac's message to the rest of the league because Rashee Rice comes back. This offense seems to be clicking. That offensive line seems to be gelling. Again, no update yet on Josh Simmons. Of course, once we know, we'll let you know, but you know as much as we know. Mac, are you excited to see Rashee Rice back in the building and against a Oakland Raiders team that you might be able to do some damage to?
Yeah, I think might is an understatement. I would say that you talk about running the football.
Sounds like a trap game.
Some more pops, some more consistency. No, this is going to be.
No, we're done with those.
It's coming.
We had that last week in Jacksonville, who put up 12 the other day.
No, preview of the script, this is going to be a clinic this week.
I think so, too.
I think this is going to be a rout. Yeah. This 35-0 might not be too far off, Bob.
Yeah,
I think the runs, you're talking about the running game.
Like, the runs, you had them yesterday after eating them in press box? I'm sorry.
The running game, thank you. Rashee Rice will be an extension of that. We don't have a lot of guys who can do something at the line of scrimmage and make a man miss and go get seven or more yards. Like Breshard Smith's been that guy, right?
Yeah, you thought the RPO got you hard in this game.
Oh, it did. Play right now?
Exactly.
I mean, Ralph, get that bus ready, brother.
Like Mahomes. Oh, yeah, we'll all be there as fans on Sunday.
We will all be there, bro. Yes. Okay. I can't wait. Mahomes won't have to do it a lot with his legs as much, I don't think, because
Mac won't see the game. He'll be making out in the crowd.
It's not a fallacy.
Dusty?
Put her in a Rashee Rice jersey. I don't know if she sees the game.
Mahomes is 0-3. The Chiefs are 0-3 when Mahomes is the leading rusher, by the way.
Well.
3-0 when he's not. So there you go.
0-3 in one score games. That wasn't a one score game last night.
That was an absolute destruction last night.
I am with you because I think the NFL this year is wide open. I know there's a lot of records out there that would say, hey, well, this team's 5-1. This team. Look, right now we are seeing injuries absolutely just decimate teams, right? Abuka gets hurt yesterday. He's out. Tampa Bay rallies. We've seen Malik Nabers go out. We've seen running backs in Los Angeles.
San Francisco again yesterday.
Insane. Fred Warner, broken ankle. That's just insane, dude. It's just so sad. Nuts, man.
Sucks.
And you're seeing all these teams starting to pile up injuries, whereas the Kansas City Chiefs are getting healthier. Mm-hmm. And Rashee Rice is, per se, coming off an injury, which I think we have to maintain a little bit because he hasn't played in a actual real game and over a year now, and he's going to implicate himself into the offense, which I think will be ready because I think that playbook's been there since St. Joe. Mm-hmm. But again, where everybody else is weakening, the Chiefs are strengthening. And I think that's the dangerous combination you look for. And now they have a clear slate. They're back to 500. They've got the Raiders this week, and then banger, right? Washington, Buffalo, bye week. So you get Rashee Rice a little bit of taste, And then it's like, all right, rest this week, boys. Week 10, we have the bye week. Now we kick it into gear. And as of right now, everybody's in this game together and on the team healthy, and we move forward to the Raiders this week, which I do think is not only a get-right game, but kind of like one of those games where it's like, all right, this is what week one should have looked like. Let's go out there and execute it. Let's get this game over with quickly. Let's put Minshew in the game into the fourth quarter, and let's get our wheels turning for Washington and get this game really rolling.
When was the last time that we saw this Chiefs team this complete? You know, I mean, like, they are healthy. They are ready to go. They've got every piece back. When was the last time we saw a complete Chiefs team? Week one last year? Was that it? I mean,
and even Hollywood Brown wasn't there.
That's exactly right. So no, I mean, we've never seen this team.
And I don't know where Xavier Worthy's at yet. I think they're using him well for what he's available to do.
Yeah.
A lot of non-contact plays, one little jet sweep for six, an out route for a first down, and then that touchdown that looked a lot like corn dog,
in my opinion. Yeah.
And then that was it. But I mean, look, Max said it this morning. That's exactly what they need to do with him. If he's not going to be at full strength, use what strength you have of him to kind of decoy the defense. And last night, three big catches for Xavier Worthy.
I thought Worthy was really good in that game last night. And again, nobody has to really stand out and be, I know fantasy owners want to see the 150 yards and all that stuff from a wide receiver. But when you look at the stats and the numbers that the Chiefs put up yesterday and the way they distributed the football, that's better than one guy dominating because you just don't know who to cover. You had eight different people catch a pass last night, nine different people caught a pass the week before. I mean, 17 different people caught passes in 2 weeks for the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, that's insane. And that'll, I mean, that'll keep defenses up at night. You know, now all of a sudden you're going, okay, we've got to stop Rashee Rice. We got to stop Xavier Worthy. We got two running backs that are pretty damn good right now. The tight end's got his swagger back, dancing out there on the field last night. I loved every minute of it. I just love watching Travis get in all the fields and dance after a big catch like that. You've got, you know, three or four different wide receivers. Juju Smith Schuster's putting up numbers this year. Like, how are you going to stop now this Chiefs offense? All of a sudden, if you're a defensive coordinator and you've got the Chiefs on your schedule, you're looking at it and you're going, who do we take out? Who would you take out if you were de-coordinating against this team? Who's the number one guy that you have to take out of the offense at this point in time? It is the quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. But from a weapon standpoint, if you try to take Travis Kelce out, everybody else is going to beat you. You try to take Rice out, everybody else is going to beat you. This offense right now, the way that it's played the last 10 quarters, now add Rice into the mix, they may never punt again. I mean, what, one time last night? I mean, and they're going for it on fourth down because they ain't got a kicker?
Shout out to Jayhawk for life. He says, can I get a birthday shout out? I'm 1 year closer to senior discounts.
Yeah, way to go, Vince. Happy birthday, brother.
HBD, baby. Coming up on the other side, Derek Johnson joins us here as he does every Monday at the same time here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Isaiah Pacheco, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. He's the Chiefs' all-time leading tackler and four-time Pro Bowler.
Derek Johnson picks it. He's up the right sideline, 30-yard line, 25, and down into Washington territory. Derek Johnson.
But to us, he's our forever linebacker.
I want to be battle-tested. I want to go through some adversity. I want to go through some things where you say, oh, man, we gotta figure this out.
Here's number 56, Derek Johnson, with Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. It's DJ time, brought to you by Community America Credit Union, member-owned, open to all. Community America Credit Union, invested in you. DJ, you see a guy bitch slap your teammate and hurt his face. What do you do at the end of the game right there? You playing friend or you playing enemy there?
Yeah, that's enemy. You got to take up for your teammate. That's one thing that teach when you're on a football team, especially growing up from little league. Like, you take care of your players, and you know, that's your brothers until the end. But that was a little extra. That was a little extra last night. But a good thing we got the win, so we didn't have to indulge in too much of that.
Yeah, thank goodness. You know, you're able to pick up a very convincing victory, DJ, against a very good football team right now. And sitting at 3-3 with Rashee Rice coming back, I can't imagine anybody in the NFL wants any part of the Kansas City Chiefs right now.
Yeah, you know, it's all about getting the right chemistry at the right time, playing complementary football, and we're doing that at this second, which we had that probably the first couple games of the year. But the good thing is we know how to figure things out. We know how to go through adversity. And Andy Reid, just his team, you know, the Chiefs are ready to go. I mean, Pat doesn't have to throw for 300 yards to win. He's so efficient and so good at his decision-making skills. And when you play tough defense and when you outrush, you know, the Detroit Lions, that's a big deal. However you do it, right, even if you add up Pat Mahomes' yards to make that happen, you know, that's a big deal.
DJ, when you watch this defense play and you watch 32 Nick Bolton, do you ever sit back and be like, man, I was pretty good, but this guy's, you know, he's coming for a little bit of the legacy that I carry too, which is being that foundation at middle linebacker for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Absolutely. You couldn't have said it better. Nick Bolton is, he's the middle piece. He's the structure of that defense. When you talk about the running game and the passing game, just kind of setting it all up. He's not a tall, big guy. But his play is elite out there on the field. He's always his motor is always going, and he's always staying alive. Like the tackles that he's making, man, he is really working for him. And my hat's off to him. It's still a young player, and I mean he seems like he's been in the league for eight to 10 years actually.
And I will say a lot of his, you know, success last night, it was even pointed out on the broadcast, goes back to Chris Jones. And a week ago, we were very critical, everybody was, of Chris Jones for kind of quitting on that last play in Jacksonville. Jones put out the same stat line yesterday that he had in Jacksonville, but man, he played so much bigger and so much better than he did down in Jacksonville on Monday night. What did you see out of Chris Jones last night?
Yeah, just more fight. Chris Jones is a heck of a player, one of the best defensive linemen to play the game. So when you have little rumors and stuff out like that, that puts a little fire under you, because we know how good or how great Chris Jones is. And sometimes it's not about the stats. When you have his presence in the game and he's pressuring the quarterback, you got to know where he is at all times, and he can block the sun, from people. That's how big he is.
Well, and also too, like, how much of what he did last night is directly responsible for Nick Bolton doing his thing too?
Yeah, you always give credit to the defensive tackles, especially when inside linebackers have a lot of success. Throughout my years, there's so many guys that helped me to do my job really, really well, because they are very disruptive and going into the backfield, even if that's on the passing game or on the running game. So,
DJ, I want to bring this up because I heard him talk about it a lot last night when it came to this game. The Chiefs kind of gambled in a way that I want to bring up to you, because a lot of guys in this Detroit offense will see nickel coverage when it comes to their running game because they want to attack speed with speed. And it seemed last night Spags wanted to attack strength with speed as he used the linebackers and Leo Chanel, which I should have known he was going to have a great game when you saw that outfit that he walked in with. If you haven't seen it, the boy looked fly. Not only that, but Drew Tranquil had a big play where they stopped a pass to Jahmyr Gibbs behind the line of scrimmage late in the game. Spags said, I'm going to take my strength and attack their strength with theirs is speed and elusive running backs. Mine are going to be these active linebackers. Big, big DJ night last night when you see Tranquil and Leo Chenal, and obviously we've already talked about Nick Bolton playing this game.
Yeah, Leo Chenal, he's kind of like that Swiss Army knife. You kind of use him as a defensive tackle at times, a defensive end, a linebacker. He kind of can do everything. He's really a key piece to our defense when we need him. And last night he had a, you know, his number was called in certain packages. really, allows him to show his strength. And he just shows you how tough he is, man. I mean, he had a heck of a game last night, 7-8 tackles. That's what he does. You know, he's always been consistently really good and does whatever Spags needs him to do, even Tranquil, on the sideline, that one you just talking about, man. Just being able to contribute and make plays, all the linebackers, That's a mark of a really, really, really good defense.
And also, too, I think the mark of a really, really good team is when you can start replacing guys and you don't miss a beat. How good was Jalen Moore last night? And also, how difficult is that situation to know, like, 3 hours before the game, hey, you're the starter right now? I thought he was brilliant, you know?
Yeah, he did. He did well. He did well. When you have a guy step in like that last minute, it's hard. It's hard, especially against the Lions defense and what they pose to people. They're one of the best teams in the league, and the Chiefs beat them convincingly. Like, hey, this is, we're pretty good too. That's what the Chiefs showed last night. But again, when you have Pat Mahomes at quarterback, there's a sense of pride. There's a sense of protection, I was smiling from ear to ear. We convincingly beat Detroit and let people know, hey, the Chiefs are still the ones to be reckoned with.
Yeah, how much juice goes into that game with the way they won, the way it ended, and then, oh, by the way, those ugly Raiders come into town this Sunday at noon.
Yeah, our division is really, really good, and it's really competitive, and being able to just stay ahead of, try to stay within that range right now. We're in the middle of the pack when it comes to that, but being able to say, hey, set ourselves up when we do beat those opponents in our division, will eventually be that one or two spot and then take it over. But again, you got to get ready for the Raiders. That Raider week, that's easy to wake up for that. So being able to get over this is a big emotional game, because we were 2-3. That's, you can go either way and get behind the eight ball really fast, but to get even 500 in the season right now, not that we, this is where we hope to be, but this is what we are. This is our record. And getting Rice back next week, I think we're going to roll.
What should be our expectation, DJ, of getting Rice back? You were a guy that missed a long period of time with injury and whatnot. What should we expect from a fan? Like, what should be our expectation for Rice?
I wouldn't say that you would just give him all of the plays, all or whatnot, but he definitely needs some catches early just to get him going, get his confidence going. But again, we have an offense that's really efficient, especially with Worthy and what he brings to the table, and Hollywood's doing his deal. But just adding another piece to the puzzle, this is a team that's really team oriented, so it's not about Rice coming in and saying, man, we got to get you some yards. It's not about that. It's, hey, let's see how we can fit you in and get you going and get you some confidence, and then we're just going to be even more lethal going down the way.
DJ, last one here for you, because we got some information last night during the game that Creed Humphrey might have had some sort of rah-rah speech at halftime for the Giants game that turned maybe the season around after Mahomes recaptured that fumble and then Creed gives this speech. We've seen the Chiefs now go 3-1 since then. Were you ever that guy? Because you seem to be kind of a leader with a quiet sword. I hope that's not any disrespect, but somebody who's just kind of cool, calm, and collected. Was there ever a moment where you just stood up and everybody just kind of looked and paid attention?
You know what? I have done that in the past, but it was during the game. It wasn't a halftime moment. It wasn't a practice moment. It was actually during the game where it's like, hey, man, when something hits me in a way, when I speak or when I yell, it's like, hey, guys, you got to listen, because that's not DJ. But those are moments that you have to have. I've seen. Players do that, and we really respect guys that really speak up like that, and I'm sure that had a bearing on the record.
Can I ask if you remember what game that was?
Ooh, I do not. It's a lot.
You just remember ripping some ass and then getting right back in there and seeing the direction change.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, being a quarterback of the defense, those times came up a lot.
Yeah, I bet.
I believe it, man.
Hey, DJ, is your coach at Texas going to be the next one getting $50 million to not coach?
Oh my goodness, man, that's crazy. I heard about that the other day. I don't think so. No.
Not with that victory of that Red River Shootout, man. Look at Arch come around, DJ.
Yeah, he's coming around, baby.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you again next Monday. Hope it's another victory over the Raiders.
All right.
That's Derek Johnson there, brought to you by Community America Credit Union, member owned, open to all. Community America Credit Union, invested in you.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
One, two, three.
Oatmeal raisin. Victory Monday, One Word edition. Here we go. One word on the Chiefs game. Chiefs win.
Awesome. You know what? Actually, I'll change that. Normal.
Uh-huh. See there?
Normalcy has returned to Kansas City. I get the feel. Today's going to be a good day around town, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody left the game late last night. Nobody going to be tired till about 4 o'clock this afternoon. Everybody's rolling on adrenaline right now. Normalcy has returned to the kingdom, MFers.
Woo! I think I've got the word, and I think you could all agree. Satisfying.
Yeah.
Because, Mac, you were in the press box with about 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter. You're going, okay, this one's pretty much good.
It's awesome.
We got this topic tomorrow. We're going to go do the press conference after this.
That's funny. 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah.
Third and goal on the three. Hollywood Brown's second touchdown made it 27-17.
Yeah. I pay attention sometimes.
About 9.5 to go, right about that mark.
And at that point, that was when the living room TV got turned off. The bedroom TV got turned on. The oscillating fan went down. The hands went over the chest. I'm satisfied with this. And I'm sure Bob was the same way. We can go inside now. We can all do whatever you want. We had a good family night in the past. Maybe they stayed out there until the end of the game. Who knows? But either way, I think that game last night was satisfying. Zero penalties. Outrushed the Lions. Outpassed the Lions. Outplayed the Lions.
Yeah.
Out-disciplined the Lions.
Out-everything the Lions
last
night.
It's a satisfying win on a Monday today.
Yeah, I tried to get a Tuesday outside on a Sunday. It didn't happen, but so we did go back inside. And then my wife, to me, is demanding we watched the Detroit news last night on the box, right?
Not yet.
So, oh, no, we did. We stayed up.
Wow.
And she's dozing off. I'm like, you're making me watch, like, the Detroit news. You're showing me a park where model planes are taking off, and this old man is helping this kid with a model. It was a very nice story. And then we got into it, and they lead with their sports report, right? And it is Dan Campbell talking about Branch after the game. And that's all we really wanted to see, how he was going to handle
scene.
It. Yeah, and scene. And then it was on the Nine-Nine Land, baby, for 3 minutes or however long it was last night. But I'm going to tell you, that Dan Campbell stuff, though, was very big to see him just destroy his own player right there like that. I love that.
Yeah, he said it was unacceptable. He said, we don't do that, even though they did do that.
In a professional way.
In a professional way, no doubt. Juju Smith-Schuster left the game with a bloody nose, or left after the game, obviously. Yeah. Because of that altercation between him and Brian Branch. This is what Juju had to say, or Schuster had to say, in the locker room after the win.
He's a great player, right? I mean, he's huge for the team. I think after the game, you know, I expected him to shake his hand and say good game and, you know, move past way. But he threw a punch. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's about, you know, it's a team sport. I mean, me just blocking him, just doing my job, you know. I play between the whistles, and after the game, you know, he took advantage of what he did.
But you could tell he was frustrated when you were blocking.
Yeah, he was frustrated, for sure, frustrated.
Yeah, because you were getting your ass kicked. That's what happens. I mean, ask anybody, no matter what it is in life, right? You've been there on the golf course. I've been there in life. You've been there, Mac, I'm sure, on the Frisbee golf course. like you get to these points where you're just pissed, and you let your emotions get the best of you, and, you know, you just can't do that. But then again, after the game, Branch is saying, they bullied me, and then he blamed the referees as to why he acted the way that he did.
Throw a sack.
Exactly, man. You got to control your own emotions. I don't care if somebody messed with you and trolled you. And
oh, I'm sure he said nothing the entire 48.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you got your ass kicked, and that was frustration boiling over. Mm-hmm. But I will say my one word is watch. Because I think that Branch moment right there is now the moment that we're all going to look back on and go, Oh, Patrick got pissed after that game, and you could see it in his eyes. The rest of the league saw it as well. Mahomes is now on a mission, so watch what happens the rest of the way.
Yeah, one word on Juju is, you know, teammate, right? Hey, he didn't want to shake his hand. He's just trying to, you know, whatever. And then his first reaction is, and again, I don't know the exact verbiage that Juju used, but I've always kind of known Juju to be like kind of the fun guy, not really the, I remember his hit on Vontaze Burfict that I think Binkley still watches to this day, because Vontaze Burfict was one of those dirty guys and Juju got a chance to lay him out and sure did. Mm-hmm. Juju will do it. Like, he's that guy in your group of friends where you're like, oh yeah, this is the guy, you know, TikTok's really fun, flamboyant, awesome personality. But boy, when it gets tough, like, he's going to stand by your man. Who is that that sings that song?
Tammy Wynette.
That's right. Stand by your man.
She's still alive, I think.
Nice.
You know, Diane Keaton died.
Sad,
over the
man. Weekend. One of
yeah,
the best.
That is sad.
I mean, that one hit a lot of people on Friday when she died. Or Saturday, whatever it was.
Yeah, I knew her from all of her stuff in the 80s. I didn't know her from the newer stuff that Hannah was telling me about. So,
what's the new stuff that she's
I don't know. I can't remember. There's a couple shows that she watched she was in. I was like, oh, I didn't know that. One word, let's get to some college football. Big day between the three on Saturday, the three local schools. MU, close loss to Alabama. Man, it seemed like they were maybe going to pull that one out in the fourth quarter. One word there for the Tigers.
You used the term close, and that's kind of where KU and Missouri are right now. Close to being a good team, but not quite there yet. That was a major blown opportunity by both schools, I thought, over the weekend. KU looked terrible from, you know, the half of the game that I was watching. They were down 21-0. We were having dinner, and immediately it's 21-0. Like, ugh, they fought back, didn't win. Missouri played fine. They just didn't end up winning the game. But these are the games that you need to win if you're going to take that next step as a program. So close, but close isn't good enough anymore.
Yeah, disappointing. Had a chance. Tammy Wynette, by the way, passed away in 1998.
Oh, my God.
Hello.
almost 30 years ago.
So,
old Tammy was probably smoking Virginia Slims.
I could see that.
Of course you could see that.
Having some late-night benders with George Jones. But, no, I think that, you know, when you – yeah, I mean – yeah. I don't know. I've lost track of what I was going to say.
You're good. We'll get play some Tua Tagovailoa audio. He's,
oh boy.
Man.
Sounds like what I just did.
Yeah, let's hear what Tua had to say after another loss against the Chargers. Talk about close. They had this one and gave it up at the end.
Well, I think it starts with the leadership in helping articulate that for the guys. And then what we're expecting out of the guys, right? We're expecting this. Are we getting that? Are we not getting that? We have guys showing up to player-only meetings late. Guys not showing up to player-only meeting. Like, there's a lot that goes into that. Do we have to make this mandatory? Do we not have to make this mandatory? So it's a lot of things of that nature that we got to get cleaned up, and it starts with the little things like that.
Bobby standing up.
Yeah, well, number of reasons.
Players were late or missed?
Late, yeah.
Yep. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Yeah, the one word that I'm going to use is coward.
Oh.
You called out your head coach, basically, right?
Yep.
There, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, everybody kind of took that
for
away,
sure.
Right? You called out some players, but you said it starts with leadership.
Oh, yeah.
You're calling out your head coach. Literally the only man on earth that ever went to bat for you in the NFL as a quarterback. And you're up there with the balls to call that guy out, who Tammy Wynette stood by your man for all of these years. And now you're going through tough times and you're throwing your coach under the bus. Ugh. There's a term that I can't use on the radio that starts with an S and ends with a heel. Mm. That's kind of what Tua became last night. A blank heel. You literally threw the only guy under the bus that had any sort of belief in you at all at that quarterback position. If I'm Mike McDaniel, I'm benching him.
I mean, yeah, you're already fired.
Yeah, exactly. That's the other thing. What's the matter now?
Maybe, and this is going to sound terrible, but maybe Tyreek Hill really was happy that he broke his leg. Because
yeah.
He was cheering on his way out.
He was.
I thought he was just blacked out from the pain and the, like, realization.
No, he was out of
there. Like, sweet, see you later.
I mean, yes. Yeah.
I mean, you saw that excitement of him on that cart. You're right. We're like, oh, he's blacked out from the pain. Oh, hell no, he was. He's like, I'm out. I'm free.
Yeah. Free at last.
You're right, though, Bobby. Got him paid.
Yeah.
He got two of paid.
Yeah.
This guy's a good point. It's ridiculous.
You don't treat people that way when they do things for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You get their back. You stand up for them. Your quarterback and your head coach have to be together. It has to be one voice. Miami, I don't know what voice that is down there, man.
I saw a Big Catch tweet says, when your team's playing like they are, you cannot wear pants like that anymore.
That is true. I mean, yeah, but true. See, that's the funny thing. When he's ripping vapes on the sidelines and doing all that stuff, it's all awesome when you're winning. The minute you start losing, well, we knew this was going to happen in Miami. BBL stinky.
That's my one word for that right there. Coming up, damage control. What do you do? Where do you go? Do you trust or do you not? Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Reminds me of that Decades Taco Bell commercial.
Oh my God, I love that commercial.
It's awesome.
It's so good, right?
Like, I know every song. It's like alternative rock.
It's so good.
It's like Sum 41, and then it's Third Eye Blind. I want to eat a Doritos Locos.
We did that yesterday. My wife went to Taco Bell. We were getting ready for soccer, yeah. And you know, she's like, I'm going to go run into the Taco Bell and use the bathroom. Comes out with a chicken soft taco. You know what she got me? Big bag of nothing. Big bag of nothing.
I hope they didn't put any sauce in her bag either.
Oh, they did. They had that green verde sauce, which I really like, nice. Man. The verde sauce is just, you know, special.
It's number one.
Really is. I absolutely love it. And so I'm sitting there watching her, you know, have this chicken taco with the verde sauce. I'm like, oh, God, I didn't need anything. So you know what I did? I got myself a soft pretzel. You know who I didn't get soft pretzel for? Jen.
I just want to win, Jen.
Two can play at that game,
yeah,
buddy.
Exactly. Two can play at that game.
You want to guess what the largest spread is in week 7 of the NFL?
Oh, Chiefs and Raiders, 10 points, right?
It's 11 and a half.
Oh, Chiefs. It's 11 and a half already?
Wow.
I got the email last night from Jimmy, and I, you know, Shapiro sends out all the you know, the lines the night before, and I opened it up last night. I'm like, oh, 10 points, by far the biggest favorite. It's up to 11 and a half already. I mean, we're not even talking 12 hours ago when that email came out. Ooh. We're talking like 8 hours ago, and it's already moved a point and a half?
According to DraftKings, it's 11 and a half. Tonight, 2 Monday Night Football games on. You guys love that, don't you?
God, it's so stupid.
They bastardize Sunday when they do this, Dan.
Well, guess what? Yeah. Next Monday, October 20th, a week from today, 2 more Monday Night games. Yeah. That's right.
Why?
Why? You know why? $1 billion a year from ESPN. They want their inventory. They want their games.
And it ruins the Sunday slate.
But it does. It really does ruin the Sunday slate. But you know what? When the Chiefs don't play that way, you look at that Sunday slate, you know what? You're going to do a Lewisburg. I'm not watching Panthers Cowboys. I'll go enjoy my day. It was a beautiful day. But I hate that they ruined the Sunday slate with multiple Monday night games.
I think tonight's Monday night game, and I think actually, I'll be honest, I'm geeking out on this because tonight's games are awesome to me.
These are good games.
Atlanta Buffalo is
going to
be
one.
It's going to be better than people think.
Yep, I agree.
And Washington Chicago is the rematch of the Hail Mary game last year.
Oh, that's right. Yep. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The Bears lost 10 straight games after that.
That's right. And that fired ruined their season. In between that and Caleb Williams, we had to have a discussion about.
Yep.
And the other guy went on to go to the NFC Championship game and win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
So this game tonight, Chicago's coming off of a bye. Is Caleb Williams going to continue to be that guy? Can he be the first ever Bears to throw for 4,000 yards passing a quarterback? So I like that. Next Monday night.
Imagine having your bye already, though, taken care of on the season.
Ugh. Rough. We did it last year.
I know.
Our bye was this week.
Yeah.
Because the Royals ended their season. They got all the way to the
week
bye
six.
Week of the Chiefs week 6 bye. But next Monday night, Buccaneers at Detroit.
Ooh,
that's a great one.
That ain't bad,
no,
folks.
No. That's appointment TV.
That's
good.
And then Houston at Seattle.
It's fine.
It's good for when the first games, and then you're ready to tear off.
Two great defenses.
So I mean, not a really big slate next weekend. Atlanta, San Francisco is your Sunday night game. You saw that advertised last night. I don't know who's going to play anybody.
No. They're going to have to flex. They can't flex that one, though. It's too late.
Too late now.
But they should have flexed that one to begin with. But I don't know. Is this a flexible week, or does it not start until? No, I think week 5 is when they start flexing.
They already flexed. You know, they're Maloney and everybody out there.
Once bye start, I think you can.
You can start moving games ready. Yeah, this one should have been flexed out of prime time.
3 o'clock slate, Washington, Dallas. I don't know.
I mean,
could be good.
Washington might put up like, see, that's the thing. Washington plays Dallas. They'll put up 40 points. Oh, Washington comes to town against
yeah,
this
that's
Chiefs
exactly
team.
Right.
Well, no, they played Dallas. Yep. Yeah. Just like when we played the Ravens and so did Houston.
Yeah.
Also in that Sunday next week, you got Colts and Chargers.
Okay.
Decent. Giants, Broncos. Come on.
Is that the late game?
That's 3:05 Chargers and Colts 3:05. Yeah. The late game is the Commanders and Cowboys.
So we'll be home about halftime of that game. You know, no, I'm thinking about get halftime of the late window once we get out of there. And I hate to be that guy. Probably comfortable walking out about the 4-minute mark of the fourth quarter, I would imagine, on Saturday or Sunday.
Also, you have the game of who gets fired first, the Dolphins versus Cleveland.
Yeah, Stefanski is getting called for his job this morning now in Cleveland, which I think is the right move. Kevin Stefanski has been the most overrated coach in the history of overrating coaches. I mean, my God, two coaches of the year for absolutely nothing, and now you've got just a mess there in Cleveland. You have no quarterback, no offense, and you told me in the break, you're like, this guy's an offensive guru. I go, yeah, well, it ain't working.
Well, that's what he said. He's like, we're mad at the play call. You were calling the plays. Pittsburgh, Cincinnati play Thursday night. Rams and Jacksonville play early in the morning, another London game. That could be decent.
Yeah, it could be all right.
Philadelphia, Minnesota at noon. Raiders and Chiefs, a nooner. I love it.
I love it.
We'll
love
be
it.
There yes. Rooting them on. And then there's the revenge game. The Patriots go to the Titans.
The Patriots may win double-digit games this year. They're going to be in the playoffs.
Yes, sir,
which
they
one
are.
You guys said
yes,
worst sir, the first? Both of you?
Yeah, I think we both were
both
on
first.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
job.
Yeah, he did say Travis Henry is going to be overrated or however you
– biggest
Travis Hunter, I mean.
Biggest bust.
Biggest bust. He did his best Kadarius Toney impersonation yesterday.
Yeah.
Lined up offsides.
He doesn't play a lot on either side.
He ruined just a 60-yard touchdown.
He's a wide receiver,
like
too, right now.
Tony did.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Yeah, exactly. They both ruined huge plays that could have had a direct impact on changing the outcome.
Brian Thomas Jr. on my fantasy team.
I mean, you got
a one-score loss.
I know. You got to line up on sides. There's no exception for that.
Quickly, before we go to break, there is damage control, and you have to control the damage. And I think the only one negative takeaway from last night's game is the kicker.
The kicker. Yeah, and I'm done with him. I'm ready to move
You're
on.
You're over it.
Yeah, I'm done. I've been done for a couple of weeks now.
Because you talk about how the Chiefs are normal.
Yeah.
Maybe this is a normal kicker in the NFL. Like, we've been blessed with just exceptional play from Harrison Butker, and now he's just back to the pack.
Yeah, I don't know that he is,
bad.
Though. Yeah, he's okay. I mean, the pack has got
– No, I get where you're coming from.
We were actually having that conversation over the weekend. If somebody would just have a conversation like this, and Ralph would be like, would you stop yelling?
But in all seriousness.
But in all seriousness, like, I don't think he's – I think right
is he
now
– Carrington?
Well, I believe he is. I do. I think it's time to move on. I don't have patience for these guys. I really don't. And you watch the league right now, and Max talked about this. Like, guys are kicking field goals from all over the place on the field. He's no longer anything special anymore. I think he's below normal right now compared to all these other kickers. I mean, people are dropping 60-yard field goals like it's nobody's business, right? They're kicking field goals like it was the 1980s and people were drilling one from 40 yards and we were losing our minds because so-and-so kicked a 45-yard field goal. Now guys are kicking 65-yarders like it's going out of business. And so Harrison Butker really hasn't brought anything different to the table all season long. And I don't know about you guys, but like I'm starting to add the points that he's leaving on the field right now and worried that they're going to come back and bite us. Now, maybe after we've seen the offense now for these last couple of weeks kind of turn it on and be able to kind of score at will, we're not going to need those points as much. But I don't know. I don't have any faith in Harrison Butker at this point in time. That's where I am. Everybody can be their own guy and gal and have different kind of views of where they are with Harrison Butker. But for me right now, I'm done.
Mac?
He's 24th in field goal made percentage. He's 37th in PAT percentage.
How many?
37th among all the
kickers. There's 32 teams in the league,
yeah, Mac. 38 kickers have played.
But that's my point.
Yes,
like, yeah.
That's where he's at right now.
Yeah.
No one has missed more kicks than him besides, and I could look at the PATs, but it might be tied. Him and Joey Sly, the Titans kicker, they are the worst kicker in the league. That's where he's at right now.
Yeah.
It's bad. He's a bottom kicker right now.
Yeah, he stinks out loud.
He's rough.
Yeah, and it has
gonna,
a major
It's going to come
impact.
Up big in December, man, in January. If he does not get fixed, that's when those things matter.
The other thing, too, is his contract would say that he's not getting released.
I understand that.
Agreed.
Yeah, but at some point in time, I mean, sometimes you just have to bite the bullet, you know, and say we can't continue. You know, I understand a salary cap hit is big and all that, but as a $10 million salary cap worth losing a game? I mean, we've already lost two games because of this guy, essentially. You know, if he makes his kick against the Eagles, he makes his kicks against Jacksonville, both of those games are wins. So a salary cap hit or two more wins on the season. I'm done hoping that Harrison Butker makes kicks. I'm done. That's me.
And that does.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Doesn't mean you think he's getting cut. You're done.
No,
because the text line's saying, you know, he's not getting cut. He's like, I don't think you're saying that.
No,
he's,
I'm not saying I'm just saying personally, football. I'm done watching the guy. Yep. It's time to move on. It was like Soria in his second generation here. You know, I was done watching him.
Coming up on the other side, we will get into what was the script and the recap of what we had. We all three had him winning, so we know we got at least one ding on the bingo card here. Coming up next is the script on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is George Karlaftis, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.